Well, I'm Cindy Palos, and this is the Talk Story Show, the longest-running talk show on Maui over 25 years now. And I literally just got back. I woke up at 2 this morning in Los Angeles, got a shuttle at 3:25, flew from L.A. to San Francisco, and San Francisco to Maui, just got in an hour or so ago, and had a great flight, watched a good movie, and I'm here. And this is an important show. It's a big show because it's my birthday on Sunday.
No.
But it's also Whale Day on Saturday, so a big weekend. This year, my birthday is 2/15 on 2015, so I got the 2/15/2/15 thing going on.
There you go.
And you've got the 35th anniversary thing going on. I have the man, 35 years, and he finally gets to be the Grand Marshal of his own event. Yay.
Yeah.
It's so good to see Greg Kaufman, CEO, founder of the Pacific Whale Foundation, here in the studio looking fine and fit. You've lost a lot of weight. You look like you've been running or something. I don't know. Maybe you've been running for your life trying to get everything together for this huge event.
Chasing whales. Around the world. That's
yeah, you've been flying. You just told me you're flying about 400,000 miles a year doing your Ambassador of the Whales thing.
Surprised I wasn't on the same flight with you.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think I might have seen you somewhere. But you know, this year it's going to, again, be outrageous. But because it is the 35th World Whale Day, there's going to be some very, very special events going on. And you know what? We're going to talk a lot about Saturday, of course. But we do want to start with a really great event that's happening on Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Didn't stop you from taking it on Friday the 13th down there at Kalama Park.
Whales Under the Stars. You know, last year, we start setting up Whale Day on Thursday. And so all the infrastructure, the tents go up, et cetera, porta potties come in, you know, everything. And so it's a several day setup to get ready. And of course, me, you know, I was thinking of something to throw at my staff and drive them crazy. And I said, well, since you got the sound system there and you got the tents there. And I normally give a talk once a year at one of the major hotels, you know, and it's always standing room only. And I said, let's do it under the stars, right by the whales, so they, you know, they can hear too. And so we did the first annual Whales Under the Stars talk last year, and I think about 600 people showed up to it. It was great. And
that
so,
was really 600 people. Good for you. That's fantastic. And so you do good talks. I mean, I have to say, I'm very honest, and people know I'm honest. You're an excellent talker. I have to tell a little story. I mean, I wasn't sure because there had been some weather before, and I wasn't sure if the plane was going to be on time. So I called engineer Gary here. I said, listen, if my plane just happens not to make it, don't worry, because Greg's coming in, and he doesn't need me anyway. He could talk the whole hour without me even being here.
Probably true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have before you had your own show here years ago. So, but you talk really good, and your talks, you travel the world giving talks. You're a world famous speaker.
Well, thank you. The event, though, this year is going to be a little more special because last year when people were coming in to set up, part of it was we didn't know how well the back projection, you know, we had a big, massive screen there, et cetera, and so we had to wait for the sun to set, and we're all crossing our fingers, and it was beautiful. It came off beautifully. Well, this year, Marty Dredd said, I want to open for Greg. I want to come down. So instead of people sitting there waiting and, you know, waiting for the sun to drop, et cetera, Marty's going to come on stage and play as my intro act for Friday night.
How cool. I have to say, I went out on a whale watch, thanks to Karen, and a couple weeks ago. And while I was there, I knew I was going to go see my kids in Los Angeles. So, you know, they love reggae. So I got them. You have a shirt that is Marty Dredd's. It's Island Rhythms kind of Pacific Whale Foundation shirt. And my grandson loved it. He wore it the whole time because, you know, it's got that reggae vibe, but it's also Pacific Whale Foundation. But Marty's become a regular with you guys on Friday nights and his reggae
now
cruise.
Saturdays.
Yeah.
We now do Saturday in Lahaina as well. Friday's Mott Live Saturday and sold out.
And
everyone
loves Marty. Now, what time is Marty going to start?
I think he's going to start about 5:45. I think I come on to sunset, which is like 6:30, something like that.
So people should get down there and get parking about 5:30?
5:30, right. Yeah. You know, there's, as an aside, I know we're here to talk about World Whale Day, but if you look at some Pacific Whale Foundation YouTube videos, you'll see an amazing video shot on board the boats with Marty singing, reggae and the whales peck slapping and dancing to the music in the background. And you got to see it. It's got to go viral.
Well, whales love Marty.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Everybody loves Marty.
Marty will be at World Whale Day. He's another fixture, kind of like me.
Yes, he is.
At World Whale Day.
Yes, but he is.
That'll happen. And I'm gonna talk.
We got to say this. It's free, folks.
Free.
We're talking Friday night. We're talking Marty Dread. We're talking to Greg Kaufman. And it's going to be the whole night. It's free under the stars. Seating, you said last year about 600 people came out, so yeah. Get there a little early to get your seats, so.
Yeah, there'll be seats, and you can bring your mats and sit on the ground, et cetera, but the whole weekend's free. Friday's free, World Whale Day is free, as you know. It's always been free for 35 years. So the talk on Friday night, people always ask me, what's next, Greg? What are you up to next? What are you going to do? So I'm going to talk about Pacific Whale Foundation the next 35 years on Friday
Let's
night.
Add up our ages and add 35 years, Greg. Oh, my God, that's going to be scary, huh? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. No, let's not do that.
No, I'll be there to see it.
You'll be there. Yeah. Well, you're in good shape.
Yeah,
you're
I'll be there shape. To see it. But it's
you may be on a walker, or a wheelchair. We'll get you up there. We'll roll you on stage.
I think I'll be listening to one of my girls give the talk then.
That would be cool. Wouldn't that be a nice heritage? Yeah.
It would be.
How many kids now? You have five kids?
Four girls.
Kids? Four girls. Yeah,
four girls.
And some, you have any grandkids yet?
I have no grandkids, but I have 220 employees. So
that's kind of like it.
And I've got a whole big family there.
And this weekend, I can't tell you how many people are volunteering to make this event possible.
Well, it's hundreds, like 400 or 500 have got to be at the park to make it happen. It's a massive event, World Whale Day. It is, we'll be streaming live.
Yay.
Yeah, and
what's the streaming site?
WorldWhaleDay.org.
Okay, that's a site people can go to for any information about the event as
well. Yeah, and we've been getting better and better, and we vow to have, I won't say HD quality, but we're shooting for that this year.
There's a lot of people that watch.
Oh, around the world.
Yeah.
The login is incredible. Yeah. People want to see it from around the world, especially people, as you know, I've said this before, people fly in just for this event.
Oh, yeah, and they have for years. Some of them make a regular, like a whale, they're just like the whales migrating in. They migrate in for World Whale Day.
They come in for the event. Some will leave right the next day. Some will stay for it, because I do VIP whale watches on Sunday and Monday as well. We've added some for Monday. The Monday ones are sold out, but I think there's probably some space with me on Sunday still.
On Sunday, 249-8811?
Correct, yeah, and
you should call for reservations on that, because that's really a treat to be able to go out on a Sunday with Greg Kaufman, because he gets a good boat.
Yeah. It's always a lot of fun, and there's a lot of fans and followers that come out there of the whales, not of me, of course, but it's really great. But World Whale Day is the world has gone flat, so with the internet we can talk to everybody and show it. So if you can't come down to the park, or your friends want to see you at the park and enjoy it with you, it's worldwhaleday.org.
Streaming live.
It'll stream live. The day starts as with our parade of whales, 9 o'clock, and that'll head basically from Cam 1 down into the park there.
So you got an all-star cast with you leading the parade.
The mayor will be there, and, the parade has gotten bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
But we are confined to, I think, an hour. They'll only shut down South Kiehe Road for an hour,
so
from 9 to 10
o'clock. So you're building the parade up rather than out.
Exactly.
It'll be a multi-layered parade.
Exactly. We're going to carry each other down the front. But it's really a hometown parade. And as you know, this party has gone on, aside from 2 years when we were in Wailea, it's been at Kalama Park 33 out of the 35 years. Mm-hmm. And it is, I would say, other than the county fair, maybe you can correct me, it's probably the longest running festival on Maui.
Yeah, and the biggest outdoor festival.
Right.
So it is. I mean, it's the biggest outdoor festival.
We're expecting anywhere from 25 to 30,000 at the park.
Well, you had about 23 last year.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, the biggest challenge of Whale Day is the parking. So
and every year, you know something, Greg? Every year we tell people, and every year I see people, and I just shake my head and go, why are you trying to drive down the road and park in the parking? We tell you, don't even try, because basically the parking lot is just about full when you start the parade, because you have all those people coming early for the events and everything. And by the time the event starts at 10 o'clock, there's no parking left down there. So people, don't be stupid, because you know what? You're going to land up honking your horn, and you know that's a sin in Maui. So don't go through the frustration. Just park in the shuttle parking lot. Always the same location, Hope Chapel. And the shuttles go all the time, continuously.
And Azekah Malka.
And Azekah Malka down by where Stella's used to be, the bank down there. And they go continuously. So just, you know, make your life easy. Park in the shuttle parking lots. You can get the shuttle back and forth, no hassle.
The shuttle runs from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., I believe.
Oh, is it really that early?
Yeah.
7 a.m., wow.
Every 15 minutes. And it's just, or walk. You know, if you live in Kihei, walk. You know, it's one day to go out, and, you know, this is a celebration not only for the whales, but the ocean and our environment.
You kind of have your own parade, right?
Yeah, come on down. And that's why the folks get there early, enjoy the parade, and then walk into Whale Day after that. And we've got some, you know, fantastic musicians that are there this year. You know, the music will start right after the parade at 10 o'clock. And we always have Hula Halau there. And
yes.
And Manatea Nui'e will be there.
It's a perfect way and culturally correct.
And then our buddy George will be there.
I love Uncle George, another person everyone loves.
Sure.
That guy, you know, we forget here on Maui. You know this is true. You know this is true, Greg. Just like you, when you travel the world and you're treated with such respect, and the people, they take you for granted if you live here and you're here all the time. George travels the world. He played in New York City, sold out all the shows on his tour, got a front page article in the New York Times.
Yep. He's amazing.
And you know
guy.
What? It really bothers me that we just take people like George for granted. I mean, the guy has like a million Facebook friends and is loved by everyone. George is amazing.
Not only is George a great musician, but he's a great soul.
He is an amazing soul. He is so
he really
giving
is.
And so generous, and truly walks his talk of aloha.
He does. And I would say that about all the performers, really.
Yeah.
You know, they love to play at World Whale Day. As a matter of fact, when we were talking recently to Henry Capono's manager, he was saying, oh, Henry loves Whale Day. It's a high energy event for him.
Yeah.
He loves playing it. And, you know, he's got a new album out, a new CD out called Night at Duke's.
You know, I haven't heard it yet. I heard about it.
He's going to be
I haven't got it yet.
He's going to be playing a lot of cuts off that.
Yeah, well,
on
you
Saturday.
Know, Henry, I mean, there's another example of someone who is world famous,
right.
Recognized worldwide. This is a guy who actually, in the old days of rock and roll, was one of the few people who got played in rock stations. I was working in rock
sure.
in L.A. And this was like, wow, have you heard these Hawaiian musicians, Cecilia and Capone? We were playing them on our rock stations in Los Angeles, major rock
74,
stations.
74, 75.
Absolutely. And I was like, here's like, wow, that's Henry Capone. I used to play him at K-West and K-Rock. And you know, here, I mean, the guy's been doing it and is, again, a groundbreaking, amazing musician. He's going to be on about what time? Can we say times or not?
Middle of the afternoon. I don't know the exact times, but I guess middle of the afternoon. But, you know, and the other thing is, he still sounds great.
Oh, he's amazing. And then, again, another just amazing man. Just a wonderful man.
Talk about high energy, though. The guy who brings it at Whale Day and just tears down the house every year he plays is Willie Kay.
Oh, well, did you happen to see him at a concert a few months back?
The one
he did here?
I wanted to catch that, but I was off island.
You know who his friends are? I mean, come on. You know, he just calls up buddies like Steven Tyler. Steven Tyler.
I heard that.
Taj Mahal, Billy Gibbons, and Mick Fleetwood all played with Willie on stage at the same time.
Huh.
I mean, just because they're buds, you know. And who else could get a lineup like that, really? I mean, Willie is one of the best vocalists and guitarists in the world. I mean, the guy is respected by all the great musicians, and they know him. And Willie, no matter when he sings, he always blows me away.
You know, I've had the pleasure and honor of standing on stage for 35 years because I get to be backstage with these guys
right.
and on stage with them. And I,
which is the only reason you do this event.
From Brothers Kaz to the Brothers Kaz to Mick Fleetwood, you know, and it's just everybody who plays, every musician has been just so thoughtful, so caring,
yes.
and really wanting
and,
to be.
And no attitude. I mean, they show up with no attitude, and you've been in the business long enough, and certainly I've been in the business long enough, and I've seen a lot of musicians, and some great ones who I love, who have attitude, and just coming from the Grammys and everything. I tell you, some of these musicians have attitude, but no attitude at these. These are all really cool people, and if you want to go say hi, you know, you can go back, and they'll sign you. A lot of them are going to have CDs to sign. You can say hi and talk a story with them.
I remember one time, John Cruise, it was John Cruise, Cecile Capone was there. Kalapana had played and made the same comment. even Brothers Kaz made the same comment to me. Naleo, they, you know, these the ones that have been around for a while said, this is like the old Coco Crater days,
yeah.
You know. This is to them, this is not the big city. This is Maui. This is roots. This is real people. You're right there. You know, you're inches away from the performers. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fun vibe for them to come do.
Should we mention what can, you can bring, because sometimes people are listening or visiting. I just came on a plane. I was talking to someone about this event who was sitting next to me. And she was going to say, you got to go to World Whale Day Saturday. But can you bring low back chairs?
Yeah.
You could bring your towels, your low back chairs. Right. You can make your, you know, it's funny because everyone gets their little spot.
They get
there early. They get their little spot, you know. And just in case you haven't been there in a couple of years, it's migrated, you know, north just a bit by the whale. It used to be down just on the south side of the whale. And now it's just it's a soccer field, right?
It's what they call New Kalama Park. It's directly across from Sansei and Foodland there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that essentially gave us 4 acres of uninterrupted ground to mm-hmm. do what we want. And, you know, it allows us to... The old park I love, but the trees got so big you're like ducking underneath, et cetera, and trying to see the performers. This way it's more of a concert venue.
Yeah.
It's a little warmer, so people have brought their umbrellas, and we don't discourage them from not bringing their umbrellas because you need some shade. There's less shade on that. But it's certainly in terms of the sound and how it permeates.
You've always
across.
Had very good sound.
Yeah.
Is Village doing it?
Village Audio does.
They do an excellent job.
I was going to say, speaking of vocalists, you know, Anahea will be there as well.
You know, I love her again. You know, the first time I ever, and I've heard her music, we play her music and everything.
Right.
The first time I ever saw her was at Whale Day.
She's a great live
performer. I was blown away. I was like, in fact, she might have jumped on stage with Gail Swanson at one time or something, but I was like, wow, she's amazing.
Last year when she sang, it was the first concert back from having her baby, so the little baby was backstage
last year.
Very little baby. And then my kid's favorite, Ekolo.
Ekolo's huge. They're big, big band. Yeah, really popular band.
You know, those guys have the greatest stage presence, but backstage, they're the biggest puppy dogs you ever met.
I remember
they are the sweetest.
They played
guys
at the Maui Fair, and it was standing room only. The whole place was packed out to the gills to see Ekolo.
They are the most humble, centered, happy guys.
Mm-hmm.
And even their old families, everybody they have back in the hospitality tent, they are just so grateful to play at Whale Day. They love it, and they're my kids' favorite. They're like, Dad, are they coming? Of course they're coming. The one, and the energy, and a few years ago, and probably 15 years ago, someone said, oh, we got this guy, Dr. Nat and Rio Ritmo are coming. And I was like, well, I don't know. And they came on stage like 15 years ago, and my jaw dropped. And I had never heard them. I'd never seen them before.
He's a very good chiropractor. If you ever need a good chiropractor. I didn't know. That's why he's really a doctor.
I didn't realize that.
You didn't know? Oh, Dr. Nat has a place up country in Makauau. He's amazing. But he's been, ever since I came to Maui, he has lived out there. In fact, he lived next door as a neighbor out in Huelo. That guy's been playing for years, and about 25 years, and he's amazing. And he just keeps getting better and better. I mean, he's a great chiropractor, and he's an amazing musician, and it's a great band, too.
We had him, when he was on last year, I said, he's got to come back. I mean, plus the fact, the dancers that he brings with him is, you know, they're worth looking at. You know? They'll keep you entertained.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But the salsa and the music. And, of course, then Marty, you know, we've got to let, Marty has to close the show because it's just what happens.
Now, I have to say, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So it is very cute. You have the name for the love of the whales.
Yes.
Because, you know, everyone loves whales. I mean, just going out on that whale watch a couple weeks ago, it's just like, you know, everyone, by the way, should go out on a whale watch because sometimes we get so busy we don't take the time to do it. But, you know, you get out there and it's mostly visitors. You know, I mean, I'd say there's 10%, 20, maybe about 15, 20% local. But, you know, if you're having someone visiting, then you bring people out. But when you hear people's comments, when you go out there, people, when they get off these cruises, these whale watch cruises, they say that made their entire trip. And they are just blown away. And the thrill that the families, the kids, everyone, they see the whales breaching and they see a baby. You know, they see their moms. It just is, it's such an amazing experience for everyone.
Well, the cool thing about World Whale Day, and, you know, we've talked about it for years, like, you know, we mentioned the parking challenge down there, and we've talked, oh, maybe we should move it here, move it there. That's the coolest part, is that while the party's going on, the whales are reaching right offshore. You can stand in Kalama Park and literally sit there and watch Henry Capono play and turn to the left and watch a whale blow offshore.
It's happened many, many times.
Many times. All
day
long.
Steals the show.
All day long.
As it well should.
But speaking of Valentine's.
Yes.
I mean, isn't this going to be the cheapest, best Valentine's date you ever took somebody on?
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Honey, I got an idea. I'm going to take you to a concert. Let's see.
I'll guarantee there's people George who Kalamoku. Fall in love, people who have met there at Whale Day, probably fell in love there at Whale Day over the 35 years. They might even have, like, you know, kids. They probably have kids by now met down there.
Well, somebody said if you had to pay to hear George, Anuheo, Willie K, Hirani Kapono, Ekolo, Dr. Nat, and Marty Dredd, add it all up, it'd be over $200.
Oh, yeah.
Free.
Oh, yeah.
Free on Saturday. Take your girlfriend there. Take your boyfriend there. Take your partner there, whatever, and say, I got the perfect date for us. We're going to go sit out in the sun, listen to music. And oh, by the way, there's terrific food there as well.
Let's talk about that, because you don't always get great food. I mean, but the truth is, I mean, get your food early, because sometimes it sells out.
It does
You know, because there are, I mean, people line up to buy the food. And, I mean, there's always awesome food and good people. Do you know who you have this year for food?
Well, a few of them I know. Well, you got Threes, which
I love. Threes
are great. Dibs on the Ribs at Monsoon India. I know you like the Indian
I do.
Food.
I love their vegetarian food, yeah.
A new one this year, the Wandering Wok, which I haven't
Don't
had.
Don't know them.
And so I presume it's stir fry. Sounds
I
like
would
it
think
is.
So, yeah.
And the guys of Hula Dog will be there. We've got Shaka Pops and Cold Stone, Maui
Kazali. I love the Shaka, local Shaka Pops.
Porto will be there with the Italian food and our pizzas, etc.
They're good, yeah. That's and right, your neighbor. Do you partly own that or just, because I know you
no,
have.
No, it's PWF's, yeah.
It is yours, yeah.
And then
so how come you don't gain more weight if you have them right next door?
I run right by it. I can't stop there. No, they have fantastic food. So, yeah, pizzas, and then, of course, we've got all the catering with the local food, burgers, etc. You know what's cool about Whale Day, too, is that the food suppliers all get involved in this. And so if you're into beef, we'll have the Big Island farmers will actually make a special cut of meat that day that's quick grill for, like, the teriyaki that we'll serve. And so our friends at HFM will come down and help cook the food, et cetera. And the farmers make special deliveries of food for us. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see how much food you put out in a day.
We should measure that.
You really should. It'd be interesting statistics.
Well, one thing we have done is try to make the event greener and greener, as you know, over the years.
About 3 years ago you went where you actually went to the point, and I loved it, where you said, listen, do not bring plastic bottles of your own, because you actually were selling last year containers
We now have souvenir bottles, so we have no bottled water on site, but Minnehuni Water has set up stations, so you can bring your water bottles and fill up, too, and it's I think it's $1 to fill it up.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, so that it's... And
you can't buy a bottle of water that cheap. To get a dollar to fill up your bottle is a good deal.
Well, and every year we just run out. They're amazed how much water we serve at Whale Day, but every year they just keep going back and filling up more trucks of their filtered water so we can disseminate them, so we don't have the bottles.
And there's, I guess it was a Shaka Pop. Yes, usually the cool ice cream
Shaka Pops
always be there. Really, really popular.
Yep, the Shaka Pops will be there. Then, you know, we have some new stuff. And of course, you know, the fun stuff, there's a lot of fun stuff at Whale Day as well. The Keiki Carnival, of course.
Well, I don't want to just go over that too quickly, because you know what? The kids love Whale Day.
Yes.
And you've always made a point of having educational and really great things for kids. Just like, for example, on the Run for the Whales.
Yes.
Which now has its home where it should be at the Pacific Whale Foundation Plaza there at Shops at Mauna. It was so cool because everyone could do the run and walk, but the kids had their own Discover Center and did all their own activities and had their own day for fun. And you do the same thing at World Whale Day.
From the beginning, in 1980, the whole concept was originally, and I've told you this story before, but people who haven't heard it before, is the original event was the guys who own Paradise Fruit in Kihei came to me and said, it's our anniversary. This was April.
Is that how it started?
Yes, it was their anniversary in April. And Mark and I can't remember the other three, there are three owners, and they said, we don't want to throw a party for us. We'd rather throw a party for you. Uh-huh. So let's throw a party for Pacific Whale Foundation, and we're going to call it Honor the Humpback Whale Day. And that's what it was called. It was called Honor the Humpback Whale Day. I said, okay, we'll go with that name. And so they made the food, and we hauled it across the street, because they're directly across the street, right there where Life's a Beach is right now. And we went, and we set up the food, and they made this famous chicken chili and some other stuff, and they supplied all the food, and we got a couple of musicians, and that was it.
And so was that 1983?
1980.
My gosh.
And then we shortened the name to Whale Day after that. I think it may have stated Honor the Humpback Whale Day the first 2 years. I'm unclear about that. Although I did find the original poster the other day.
Wow, you got to frame that. Well, oh, my, yes.
Now that you mentioned that, there's actually going to be a booth. My staff has been working real hard. There's a 35th anniversary booth, and there will be all that memorabilia over the years on display there. And one of the cool things is there's a picture of me that's on the website that, well, I was far younger back then, but there's a picture of me in a Save the Whale t-shirt doing my best Barry Gibb imitation kind of thing. And my staff have always liked that image, and they've liked that concept. And the shirt says, Save Those Whales Now. And that was really out of a campaign that I did in 1979 that led to the creation of Pacific Whale Foundation. So for this event, for the 35th anniversary, they recreated that t-shirt, and they're selling limited editions of it at the booth on Saturday.
You could take a picture wearing the t-shirt that was then and stand next to Greg now, and we can have a then and now.
Then and now.
Then and now. Scary stuff.
They're going to get me to wear the shirt on
Saturday.
Oh,
you absolutely should. Absolutely. Yeah. That would be a very cool picture, having you wear that. Yeah, and I love that. Well, you know, Ko'oi Radio has been around 40 years, and we used to have, the radio station had some free music in the parks.
Sure.
Back then. But what happened with those, which were great events, is the insurance.
Yeah.
Got sky high, crazy, and too much money, and they got too popular, and so they had to get stopped. But, you know, I don't know if you were doing it at the same time or whatever, but you kind of picked up the ball, and it just was so great, and we were so grateful to see something like that continue, because people don't realize the amount of money, permitting, time, and work. They just, no one could imagine, unless you did a documentary, which isn't a bad idea. I mean, no one could imagine what it really, really takes, and especially in the beginning when you're doing this kind of stuff, to get permits for what you're doing and to get it by. I mean, I think in the beginning there were fences all around and stuff. I remember when you used to fence it all. I remember 1 or 2 years. But you have to get permits for these things, and you have to have insurance, and that's expensive.
Well, in the old days when we started, we just went over and did it.
Did it.
And not anymore.
No.
Literally, the day, Whale Day will be February 14th. We'll call it Whalentine's Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
On February 16th, or 16th is President. It's always President's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Tuesday, and then the following day, they'll go in and apply for the permits the next year.
Wow.
It starts that day.
I don't think anyone else could really pull it off. I really don't think anyone else could. People, like I say, people don't know what it takes.
I'll tell you an interesting story. I was sitting in Australia in this town, Harvey Bay, which started a whale festival. There's been dozens of whale festivals now started, patterned after ours around the world. There was just one in Monterey. There's one coming up in Orange County. And they really were inspired by this whale festival.
Wow.
This is kind of like the original Earth Day festival. So this is the first whale festival that's been going on the longest, and people model on. So I was sitting at the county council in Harvey Bay, Australia, and they were looking at everything we did. And the mayor looks at me and says, well, so what's this cost the county? And I said, nothing.
Wow.
And he goes, well, who pays for it? And I said, Pacific Whale Foundation does.
Wow.
And he said, you've got to be kidding me.
I know.
He said, you put this entire thing on by yourself? I said, yeah. Well, now, you know, over the years, we've been fortunate. We have gotten the support of the Hawaii Tourism Authority,
mm-hmm.
and the County of Maui has supported us as well. But for most of these years, for, you know, the bulk of the 35 years, we've done it without grants and without support. And it still is only a tiny percentage of what it costs to put
it
on.
Have you ever tried to make it a worldwide whale day where all around the world this was the day that whales were celebrated? Wouldn't that be enough? I mean, have you ever tried to make a movement for that to happen?
We have. The challenge that you have is that the areas where the whales are that people want to celebrate say in the Southern Hemisphere, they're celebrating them in September.
Yeah, good point.
Now we have a big whale event in Ecuador, and that happens the end of June. And that event is, it was clearly patterned after ours, but it's turned into a national holiday.
Seriously?
It's a three-day party
down there.
And it's a cultural event. They come from the mountains.
They have a three-day holiday?
The one day is a holiday, but it's a three-day event that happens.
But all for the whales.
The president shows up to it.
Not.
Yes.
Absolutely. I had not heard about that.
There's a... go on in YouTube a video that we just produced called Migration Towards Prosperity, and it tells the story of this sleepy village that we first started.
What's the name of the village?
Puerto Lopez.
And is it a whale village? Is it a place where whale watchers go out?
Whale watching now, yeah. But it's a place that was shark finning and raping the ocean of fish.
Seriously.
And we converted it from doing that to making money watching whales. Watch the video. It's called Migration Towards Prosperity. It got played at the International Whaling Commission at the plenary session and got a standing ovation by all delegates
in
September in Slovenia this past year.
So, and do they get the local musicians to play and everything? And they do that?
Not only that, they do this baptism of whales. See, we have an adopt whale program.
Not.
But they do a baptism of whales.
And how do you baptize a whale?
So one night, they actually name the whales. But what happens is, they do it very differently there. So it has become the thing for the rock stars, the politicians, the musicians. And it isn't like you just give $10 or $50, whatever. You actually adopt this whale and have to show up and stand on stage and receive your whale. And interestingly, this past year, I was unable to go. But the town actually baptized one of the whales in my name and my
honor. You weren't there for the baptism of your own whale?
I had no idea it was happening.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I will be there this year, though.
So have you seen pictures of your whale?
Yeah, I have a photograph. They gave me a whole certificate on it. It was really cool.
You know, how come you're not doing that here?
We do have an adopt-a-whale program, but I think it was interesting because we let people adopt the whales to support our research.
Right, right.
But they did it more as a way to draw these wealthy, famous, influential people to this poor village.
Yeah.
And it turns out, Cindy, is that we started that project 15 years ago. It is the only coastal community in Ecuador that has had a positive population growth. All the rest have had negative because there's no future. These people make $1,000 a year for family.
Wow.
It's very poor. And during that time, the population has gone from 22,000 to 28,000. And the president last year just announced a $65 million investment initiative. They now have, because of whales in this town in Puerto Lopez, we've now been able to get rid of the Rio Disgustos and the open sewage. And everyone now has running water. They have sewage. They have electricity.
Whales changed their life.
Changed their life. You watch this video.
And it went from the slaughtering of sharks and the killing to actually doing the tourism.
Ecotourism. You watch.
How did they get their boats? If they're such a small community, how did they get their boats?
They still go out in tiny little boats.
They really? Yeah. Well, I just think.
But they're gotten bigger now. But there's nothing there probably bigger than 35 feet. The president... last year, a year and a half ago, built them a $3.5 million pier. Other than that, you used to wander out waist deep and get on the boats.
Wow.
So you have to watch this YouTube. It's Migration Towards Prosperity.
Wow. Well, I know you've been working on it worldwide. I mean, you've talked to people in Japan extensively, right?
Well, I'm happy to tell you that last month I was selected by the International Whaling Commission to become the whale watch industry's voice at the IWC. See, that has been a whale killing club since the 1940s.
Seriously.
And there has been no voice towards the conservation protection. Now, I've been a scientist on the scientific committee for, I first was there in 79 in the recent years, last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever, been pretty consistent serving on four different committees. But the handwriting has been on the wall that it's not economically viable to kill whales anymore. And I said, and I think if you go back and listen to some of these programs, I think I told you 2 or 3 years ago that I believe this year, 2015, would be the year that Japan would lay down their harpoons, regardless of the outcomes in terms of political wrangling or court orders, et cetera. I could see inside the International Whaling Commission that the will was gone in that. And I'm happy to tell you that about 10 days ago, Japan announced that this is the first time in centuries that they will not hunt whales.
I got chicken skin from that. That's a miracle. And after all these years and them selling their whale meat and doing it in gourmet and in restaurants, right, promoting that they're selling whale meat to people for hundreds of dollars.
This will be the year they're not going to whale.
That's fantastic.
And they won't be allowed to come back with a program, at least a proposed program, till 2016. And I said to somebody the other day, and they're going to have to go through me to get that one approved.
Yeah.
But
they are doing tourism. Now they're doing whale watches.
They are. I went there in 88, 89 and set up whale watching in the Ogasawara Islands, which was a place where they used to kill coastal whales, and now they're whale watching. That first year when I went down there with Dr. Paul Forrestal, there was about 3,000 people went whale watching that year. Now keep in mind, this is the only way you can get there. You can't fly there. You have to take a ferry there. It's a 30-hour boat ride each way, and it's not pleasant seas. Over 100,000 people last year.
My gosh.
100,000 people.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it is a massive growing industry around the world. It's the fastest growing industry in ecotourism today. It's growing at a clip of about 15%.
So how many? You started with how many boats?
Well, one.
And how many boats do you have now?
We have 9 in Maui.
And a brand new one that's actually a sailboat. You brought it up from South America, didn't you?
Virgin Islands.
From the Virgin Islands?
Yes. Yeah, Ocean Spirit, our new sailing boat.
Which is so cool to have a sailboat.
Yeah. Well, we've been moving for years to lower our carbon footprint and design greener and greener vessels. But the one I'm still working on, I was just on the mainland working on, is our zero-emission ocean navigator vessel. It's a solar wind vessel that will have zero emissions. Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, and again, if people want to do a cruise on this, that one's out of Lahaina right now. The brand new one is out of Lahaina.
Yeah, Ocean Spirit. I was just on it Sunday. It's fabulous. It is, if you've been on any other sailboat on Maui, you have to try this one out. It is state of the art.
How many people can get on it?
It's certified for 90, but I think whale watching, we're taking 60 people on it. And
are you doing that one on Sunday on that? Or are you?
I just did it on Sunday. The next one I'm going to do, a VIP, is going to be April 27th. That'll be the day before the Great Whale Count. Great Whale Count is on the 28th this year. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to do another VIP the next day on March
1st. So is it a different, I mean, I've gone on tons of whale watch cruises, but is it totally different when you're doing a sailboat without the sound of an engine and everything? Is it a whole different experience? And do you different feelings about the whales when you're on something like a sailboat?
You have the challenge because you have the sails, so you have to drop it, but there's no sound, it's whisper quiet. And when we were out on Sunday, we were cruising along and I stopped and I told everybody I thought it was a singing whale, and I stopped, and before I could even drop the hydrophone in between the hulls, you could hear the whale singing right through the bottom of the boat.
Oh my gosh.
And everybody was just amazed. They were all looking at me, like, really? Is that? And, you know, and then when we dropped the hydrophone in, it was just blew everybody away.
Wow, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's, it's sailing, or, you know, whether even on a raft or our whale, one of our power cats, we adhere to a best practices, a Be Well Aware program. So all our boats travel under 15 knots. We have, low emission tier 2 and tier 3 engines, and we put hospital grade mufflers on our vessels. So we have low output emissions, et cetera. So and we put sound deadening in the hulls, et cetera. So we want to make them as quiet as possible.
Well, and also your people have really been well trained. You have actually many people who've come out and done a whale watch who've decided to go into marine biology because they were so inspired by going on a whale watch.
Yeah, it was interesting. On Sunday, I had a family, and they had a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And both of them had PWF shirts on, the 3-year-old and 5-year-old. And the little boy, he came off the boat at the end and he shook my hand. I said, "Did you like that?" And he said, "I love it. I'm going to study whales when I grow up."
Yeah.
And whether he does or not, I will tell you this, he will never forget that experience.
That's right. That's right.
Experience.
I mean, you have had people coming out for years, and your people that you have who lead the whale watches are really experts in understanding the whole story about the whales. They're not just people who go on it, or as a tour guide, I mean, they're marine biologists who understand the whole story, who've been trained.
Well, one of the challenges that I see right now, and I spend a lot of my time, the reason why I fly a great deal, is going to areas to train emerging industries. I was just in Panama. I'll tell you this story. Is in Panama, in Boca de Torres, which is up near the border between Costa Rica and Panama, there's an area there that has sort of turned into the new Costa Rica. It's still fairly inexpensive.
I've heard it's booming.
It's really booming, yeah. Up in that area. Well, there is, they run a tour up there, and it's sort of six different spots. You know, you lunch one spot and snorkel another spot. But the first thing they do is they stop into Dolphin Bay. And we're talking about 30 to 45 vessels. They're all outboards, no prop guards, 40 to 70 horse, two strokes, dumping a lot of oil, you know, inefficiently burning. And they sort of go out en masse like every 15 minutes. And there's a bit of competition between the Aboriginal locals and the new locals, and et cetera. But they come racing into this bay doing 20, 25 knots. Mm. Well, the challenge is that this bay is small. It's like, you know, a fraction of the size of Mont Lyell. It's maybe a couple
really?
Of miles. It, yeah.
Is it big? They go there because that's where the dolphins are?
They go in there. The dolphins are in there. And the dolphins are in there either resting or they're seeking sardines. Uh-huh. And so they're feeding in there. And it turns out that this population of inshore bottlenose dolphins, that they're genetically distinct. There's fewer than 200 of them in the world. And in the last 3 years, these operators have hit and killed 10 animals.
Oh, my.
So that's 5% of the population, and largely the ones that have been killed are newborns to 1 year. And what happens is it's equivalent of, you know, you could walk down an alley right by yourself and you go, oh, okay, I'm fine. But if you walk down an alley and 35 people or individuals you don't know crowd around you, you all of a sudden become very panicked very quickly. Well, that's what was happening when I showed up, is that there's 35 boats surrounding two or three dolphins. And they get them in the middle.
And they're getting paid. They're doing tours, getting paid, and that's what.
But it's part of a junk. It's part of a five-stop thing. So it's not like they're sitting out there and targeting the animals. So the good news is they're only in the bay for 15, 20 minutes. The bad news is when they're in the bay, they're mobbing the dolphins.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of the thing that we're seeing around. But when I sat down with the operators, what really shocked me first off, Cindy, was that the majority of them believe that these dolphins were fish and not mammals.
Oh no.
So that you're
my gosh, they weren't even educated enough to know they were mammals.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
So you sort of start with that premise, is that how do you get people to understand how would you approach your sister? How would you approach your brother? How would you approach your uncle on the street corner?
And then there's the language thing, of course, and everything.
But there's good inroads made, and I'm convinced over time that will change that. But you know, this is what we're seeing, is that how do you put the genie back in the bottle? How do you get people to do best practices and minimize impact? Because it is a powerful thing.
Otherwise you get into a policing situation. You have to get
and there is no police.
But that's the only alternative you have, is it's like, you know, there's going to be fines. I mean, there is here because it's a marine sanctuary. You have fines here if people break the rules here.
There are, you know, but you know, my grandma from Kansas used to say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm all for prevention, because when you get to the point where you have to start showing guns and badges and finding people, it's gone too far at that point anyway. Mm. And so but you know, the good news is that being appointed now to the International Whaling Commission's Conservation Committee as and that's largely a political body. That's where all the commissioners sit. So I'm the non-elected official who's representing the international.
And you're not wearing a gun.
Yeah, and I'm representing the whale watch industry.
Wearing a sheriff badge.
But the point is that we're going to be able to finalize this plan that we're now 4 years into making, is a five-year global plan for whale watching, to convert us as a planet from whale killing to whale watching.
Yay.
And there's pluses and minuses to that. Done wrong, it can have, you know, deleterious effects. Done correctly, it can be a positive, enriching experience. And that's my goal.
When you began here 35 years ago, I mean, there was a huge problem with the population of the whales.
There weren't very many.
What was the growth you saw in 35 years since you started here?
Well, when I started, the reason why I was intrigued on studying this population of whales was that I honestly believed they were going to go extinct.
Yeah.
I didn't think they had a chance. There was fewer than 600 in the North Pacific.
Really?
In Hawaii, fewer than 1,000 in the North Pacific. Some people estimate as high as 1,200, which is nothing. And really, you know, my biggest frustration was is that we really didn't see any recovery from the 70s into the mid-80s. And it was about 1988 we started to see a pop in numbers, and we thought, oh, there may be hope here. And for years, couldn't figure out why, and then the population started increasing at a rate of about 7 to 9% after that. And it wasn't until in the mid-90s, when the Cold War ended, that a Russian scientist came out, and he was working for the whaling industry in Russia. And he had actually kept a second set of books about the truth of the Russian whaling industry.
Seriously.
And he had hidden these books. He and a colleague had hidden these books in the potato bin under their house for fear of being thrown on the gulag if they were ever found out.
Oh, my God, about how many they were really killing in Russia.
So it turns out that in 1962, humpback whales were protected in the southern hemisphere, and in 1963, they were protected in the northern hemisphere. And it turns out that when the world stopped killing whales, and everyone believed everyone had stopped killing whales, even those at the International Whaling Commission, that the Russians between 1962 and 1982 killed 44,000 humpback whales.
Oh my God.
Undetected.
44,000. Oh my gosh.
And over 4,000 in the North Pacific. So when we thought that they were nearly extinct, they found another 4,000 to kill, and largely they were killing them up near their feeding grounds.
Up north.
Up north where they're fatter.
Where the whales come from, right. Come to hear from.
So with that in mind, it's even more of a miracle that these animals are recovered. So I'm happy to tell you there's a good news of that story, because, you know, one of the jokes is about the endangered species list is most people say, the only way you get off the endangered species list is go extinct. Well, this, in the case of the bald eagle, that didn't happen. And in the case of the humpback whale, I don't believe that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think in about five years or more, I think we'll move towards delisting these animals. And right now we're estimating... in the North Pacific, I went from 35 years ago, nearly 40 years ago for myself, watching this population number fewer than 1,000 to now over 22,000 humpback whales.
Wow, isn't that miraculous?
In the North
Pacific. That in itself is just such a great story in itself.
We're celebrating.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. And in case you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Greg Kaufman, CEO, founder of the Pacific Whale Foundation in celebration. The World Whale Day is this Saturday, Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, because it's Valentine's Day, and it's happening with the kickoff on Friday night with a free talk with, as you can hear, Greg Kaufman, always amazing with his astute knowledge and the stories he can tell. Also, we didn't mention the books you've written. You just put another book out last year, didn't they? Didn't you have just a new book come out last year?
We were in the process, and I think it just went to the printer today. So I think
that makes how many books?
Five.
Five books, and I mean world recognized, and has truly made a difference in the industry. You'll be doing a talk on Friday night with Marty Dredd, opening about 5:45 or 6 o'clock. Marty will play.
Yeah.
And then you'll talk at about 7:30?
6:30, I think.
6:30?
Right after sunset.
And that's all free. And then the parade starts at 9 o'clock. And it's a lot of people turn out for the parade. Last year, I couldn't believe there was quadruple lines of people lined up on South Key.
They're estimating 6,000-7,000 plus for that parade route.
And it starts, just in case people want to be where it starts, sometimes people like to see where they come out. Where does it start?
It starts down at the ABC store down there at Cam 1, and then it heads north towards Kalama Park. So anywhere along there, you know, favorite places anywhere on Foodland in that area. People seem to congregate. But then it ends down at the library, so it turns back in South.
We just want to throw this out. The event happens rain or shine. Obviously, you can't recreate this kind of event a second day. So, you know, just in case, just be prepared. It'll happen, rain or shine.
Well, you know what? I always say, people always ask me about whale watching, and they say, oh, it might rain. I always say the whales don't mind getting wet.
Yeah, that's true. And it's really, really important, and I want to stress this. You know, we got about another 4 minutes, but I really want to stress the shuttle parking. I was surprised, 7 o'clock in the morning, you can get down there and do the shuttle at Azekamauka, right by the bank there, across from where Stella Blues used to be. And that's a huge parking lot. Or you can go up to Hope Chapel, which also is a massive parking lot. The shuttles are running continuously from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Now, how late a day? I mean, the music starts at 10.
It'll end at 7, but, you know, I know we're going to run out of time. So real quickly, I wanted to say that we have Eco Alley there as well. We got
yes.
folks from everybody from the Surf Rider to Malama, Maui Nui, to the NOAA Fisheries Service, to the Maui Forest Bird Recovery Project, the West Maui Watershed, Maui County Environmental Coordinator's Office, the Sanctuary will be there, Sierra Club, Maui Tomorrow. So it's a great place to connect with people.
Yes.
Also, her
who really care about the world.
Yeah. That, you know, the rain that falls on top of Haleakala makes its way into our ocean. And so there's a lot of groups between ourselves and myself before we even get to the ocean out there that are doing some fantastic work. So
and I really have to give a shout out to the crafts, because there's some places that call themselves craft fairs, and there's stuff coming from Japan, Hong Kong, China.
This is juried.
This is all local Maui, and you have like 100 amazing craftspeople. I always get something really cool. I mean, the craftspeople are fantastic there.
This is the original Made on Maui Artisans Fair. I know they had one earlier this year, and it was great. And I went to it. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
But this, we have for years insisted that you need to prove that you're making this stuff, that it's made on Maui. You'll also find that there's no seashells there, nothing taken from the ocean. I don't care if you even picked it up on the beach. We don't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you know, we're not trying to exploit the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So we're interested in highlighting people who do fantastic, amazing artisans.
And since it is Valentine's Day, what a perfect way to get a special gift for someone from a local wonderful artisan and have the artisan talk about it and get something special.
It is one of a kind that day. And I'll tell you this, the crafters who are at Whale Day tell us every year it is their best event of the year.
Absolutely. I've talked to people that made my whole month, you know, maybe made their whole year for some of them. Yeah.
The other thing we have this year is our auction that we always have is online as well. So you can go to the Maui Whale Festival.org.
Is that for the running of the whale? The little things that
that's
you have?
That's the whale regatta.
The whale regatta.
We actually have donations and people have been online now, and the numbers, it's tens of thousands of dollars raised already online through the auction that people are bidding for
That's
things.
That's MauiWhaleFestival.org?
MauiWhaleFestival.org. And, of course, we're also going to have something new this year, the Kohala Kingdom, which is where our research, education, conservation departments are there. And they've set up this amazing interactive displays and exhibits about whales and the ocean and the work that we do. So everything you learn about, everything from marine debris to whale migrations to our latest research projects we're doing in the Kohala Kingdom there. It'll be there this year. It'll be
I
a
like
lot
that.
Of fun.
And the whale regatta has been going on for years and years, and it's always fun.
And
you usually have a super duper prize you give away for the one who wins that too.
Round trip for two to Maui. Or from
Maui to wherever, the mainland.
From the mainland back to Maui.
That's very cool.
Or we've added from New Zealand and Australia.
Really?
To Maui.
Oh, my God, I love that.
Yeah. So we now have our friends down under participating.
Isn't that nice?
And the last thing is, we have, because you've seen the poster now, and check it out, we have really cool 35th commemorative anniversary World Whale Day t-shirt. So
yes.
Check it out. It's a brand new one. You're going to love it.
Well, those are always popular. I always get them. I've kept a bunch, not as many as you. But, you know, again, seeing Greg Kaufman doing his BG imitation on a T-shirt is worth something, you know. It's definitely worth something. We have only about 40 seconds left. But I just have to say, mahalo, every time I talk to you, I learn more and more and more. And it's such a treat to be able to talk to you because, I mean, people get down there for the Friday night event. You learn so much, and that's important, that education. You all are ambassadors of the world, and when you travel, you can learn and share the information you get from this. And maybe you can get someone to start a World Whale Day in their community just because you go to this event. You know someone says, hey, let's do a World Whale Day. They do it in Maui, and it's huge. They
That'd
do it now
fantastic.
In Ecuador. They do it all over.
Well, check it out, streaming live, worldwhaleday.org. 249-8811 for more information, and we'll see everybody at Kalama Park.
It's so wonderful seeing you. Aloha.
Aloha.